Hello, everyone, and welcome to the 229th episode of the Voluntary Viewing Podcast, recorded on Sunday, August 20th, 2023. On the podcast, we have Andrew Clark. Andrew, are you dealing with a tropical storm or a hurricane today?
I want to say the answer to that is no, but you know, okay. I really try to stay off the news. I think it's pretty bad for your brain. I wouldn't really know. Honestly, I think that's the big problem with youth today is that they won't get off their phones. They're always on the news checking current events and they just don't know how to really be happy. You know, that's why everyone's so depressed. It's because the mainstream media is making them depressed. So like, stop checking the weather. Stop, you know, stop even checking in on your family members.
Right.
Just kind of stay in your own little bubble and you'll be happy.
Similar to how ACAB includes judges, social media blackouts includes the weather and just basic updates about the situation around you.
ACAB includes MLB umpires. Like, it's pretty far reaching.
Social media blackouts includes text messages from your parents.
I was going to ask if the weather counted as news, but this has led to a better segue question. What sports referees, what sports judges, umpires, whatever term you'll use to refer to them, depending on the sport, which one are the most cop?
It's got to be MLB umpires, right? Like,
really?
I mean, the whole, like, you know, you can't argue balls and strikes. If you say anything that, like, could mildly lead them down the same pathway as somebody that is arguing a ball or a strike, they'll fucking send you home and they'll kill your family. Like, they're tyrants, my guy.
I'm thinking about like combat sports, like those referees, I feel like are sometimes quite literally doing the job of police. Like, sometimes literally there to
we're talking about the spirit becoming of a crime. Police, not like I mean, that's basically community policing if you think about it.
Hold on, if we're thinking about the spirit of policing, to me that is incompetency, in which case I would go with the NFL refs.
I don't know, I'm thinking more along like the spirit of policing is like fascism, and that's okay. I think MLB umpires are pretty fashy.
Soccer refs are pretty interesting because they have so much discretion. Mm-hmm. Like, they are just genuinely God when it comes to the enforcement of any, like, very, you know, left up to their discretion decisions. Like, they can decide to send a player off and, like, the team can't replace them, so permanently disabling one side forever. And suspending them for the next game, just giving them a warning and just like basically like giving them a little like, hey, don't do that. Like, and that can all be just completely based on what they think in that exact moment.
I was going to say they literally control time in soccer.
Right.
Yeah. That is very funny though. Like, I can't really fault them or call them cops for that, because I think it's so funny that they can just say, you got, I want to say, 7 more minutes to play, because why not? We've got a timer.
Right.
We've got a timer that we could stop and just always know how much time there is left to play. But, yeah, fuck it.
And if there's something that happens during those 7 minutes, they just kind of arbitrarily don't blow the whistle for, like, another minute or two after the 7 minutes. Yeah. No, it's interesting. And they're wrong a lot. And they have video evidence that proves them wrong nowadays that people really hate. Like, the fact that, yeah, sometimes they have to stop everything and be like, what does the video say? And it takes forever.
And then as I'm thinking this one out a little bit more, I would say that basketball refs, the least cop, they're just trying to get through the day, trying to get through a game like everyone else.
Basketball refs are the only ones to be caught in a wide scale, like, potentially destroying the sport that they're a part of conspiracy scandal. So there's that.
Okay.
Is that a recent development?
Yeah. Or... No, have you ever heard of Tim Donahue? It's not recent, but yeah.
Like no, I don't think I have.
Oh, yeah. He took the fall. He was the NBA ref that bet on games. And
oh, yeah. You
know, like was involved in all that. But then he basically said, I was the fucking fall guy. Like we were bought and paid for by. Various betting organizations to keep the line close or to do this and that, like, and before every single game the NBA would radio down to us and say like, hey, here's what you're going to be paying special attention to in terms of fouls, and it would completely impact the outcome of every single game. So I decided to throw some bets in to enrich myself based on the corruption that was going on. So.
Was it only a crime when the little guy does it?
Yeah.
And then last but not least, rules officiants in golf. They're just lawyers. Like they're not even cops. They're lawyers. They don't get a gun. Yeah.
Tennis refs British are pretty cops. Funny. Yeah. That's fair. I've seen a lot with tennis refs where like then the players can ask to speak to their manager. Like literally if they don't like what the tennis ref said, they're like bring in the supervisor, and then the supervisor has to be like updated, and like they all like plead their case in front of the supervisor, and then they issue a verdict. It's very strange.
The fact that they're in like tennis officials are in like elevated like lifeguard chairs. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about it, though, that's kind of like what happens with the NFL sometimes where the commission will just be watching and then say this specific call. I'm going to get in on this and we're going to take a deeper look at this. And even though we could literally do this for every call, we're not going to. We're just going to do it. And like just at the drop of a hat for some reason.
Right. The one I saw in tennis, it was because, you know, they have like the singles court in the inside and then the doubles court, which is slightly bigger. Mm-hmm. And the guy like made an epic, like he had to sprint all the way across the court, managed to return it. But because he was running so fast, he ran into the net, and that's a penalty. And like the other person's automatically awarded the point. But he ran into the net outside of the singles playing surface. So he appealed to the ref and was like, no, I was outside of the singles area. Like it's not technically the net once you get outside of that region, like that's for doubles. And the ref was saying no. And then he had to bring in the ref supervisor and just be like, right, that's the rule. I'm not crazy. And then was able to get the point reversed. But yeah, it was weird.
And it's very weird. Also on the podcast today is a man who is about to rank every state in the Midwest, best to worst, Ryan Holtz.
Okay, well, we need to obviously establish
what counts as the Midwest.
What are the Midwest?
Uh-huh. Does the entire state have to be in the Midwest? Or if like part of the state is in the Midwest, does that count? Because like Buffalo, New York, 100% the Midwest. But like obviously,
New York
is not the Midwest. No. Buffalo, New York is. It's just exactly the
vibes?
Same.
I don't know.
Yeah, vibes and location. Do you not know how close Western New York is to
Pennsylvania? Like, is closer. Is Pennsylvania in the Midwest?
It's borderline.
What?
I feel like
there's
no doubters
range in between.
You got the no doubters in the middle, which obviously Wisconsin,
like, right?
We all know. And then like your Minnesota, your Iowa, your Illinois, your Indiana, your Michigan, probably your Ohio, even though we all kind of are like,
Ohio's the Midwest.
The Dakotas are, Nebraska probably. I don't know if Kansas and Missouri, if I consider those Midwest personally.
That's the thing is, like, I would not consider Kansas part of the Midwest. Yeah. People in Kansas definitely consider themselves part of the Midwest. And northern Missouri is just as Midwest as everyone else. But then southern Missouri is the South.
Yeah.
Southern Illinois is the fucking South. Like, once you get an hour south of Chicago, you're in Alabama. Basically, it's not the Midwest anymore. See, like there's nuance. Just like Africa after the post-colonial land grab, these borders are arbitrary, and I think that we need to reestablish them.
Let's do it. Let's
starting with the UP definitely goes back to Wisconsin.
Of course,
it's just
retroactively, it makes only the most sense. We need to redistribute the Mississippi River to reclaim some of Minnesota as part of Wisconsin, like some of those border towns. We can leave them in Minneapolis and St. Paul, but you know, we can get, oh God, what's that one? I don't remember the one that's like right across from La Crosse. It's like right across the river, and they're like basically sister cities. Mm-hmm. That can be Wisconsin. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like politics is going to really tinge this list if we're talking
big
about
time,
it. So
right?
What are we ranking? Are we doing natural beauty? Are we doing the people? Are we doing...
However you interpret best, Ryan.
God, that's impossible though. Fuck. And we're going to be so biased towards Wisconsin, of course.
I mean,
we can all agree.
I'm looking at this map.
F tier is fucking Ohio. Like, they can be
get fucked
in a tier of their own. Like, sure, you can throw Indiana in there down near the bottom, but Ohio's just
Iowa's got to be pretty low, F-tier. Right?
I feel like Iowa's so mid. Iowa's pretty mid in my book. It's got some beauty, but yeah, it's kind of a just fucking nothing burger. The Dakotas are stunning, but Jesus Christ, the people and the politics and the
people in North Dakota, they're the happiest in the states.
Yeah, because they're fucking
ignorant.
They don't know better. They don't know how much it sucks.
Ignorance is literally bliss. Yeah, no, like
there's no, they all live in giant houses because there's just that much unoccupied land.
It's that game changer bit where it's like, do an impression of a North Dakotan. He's like, yeah, me and my wife moved out here like, let's say 5 years ago. Like we were out on the East Coast to try to get back there whenever we can, but you know, sitting down roots where we had the chance and here in North Dakota.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like it's always going to end up at Minnesota on the top, which sucks because I can't stand Minnesota in anything other than how great their state is. Like everything else about Minnesota is terrible, other than the fact that their state is just a better Wisconsin in every way.
It's the mummy of states. There's nothing good about it except for how fantastic it is.
Exactly. So Minnesota's going to always end up near the top. Wisconsin's always going to be near the top because I'm from there, even though...
Yeah.
Ooh.
In
terms of politics, Wisconsin is pretty far down.
We got issues.
I mean, I think Wisconsin beats out Michigan, I think.
Interesting. I think it's going to be pretty close between Michigan and Wisconsin. If for nothing else, again, yeah, like politics are going to come into it. Upper Peninsula gives them quite a bit of natural beauty and appreciation there, in addition to like genuine urban areas, unlike Wisconsin.
Yeah, but like their genuine urban areas have had a rough go of it as of late.
Whereas, well,
as of late, I would argue, 50 years ago?
As of late, I'd argue they're actually under a semi-renaissance as of, 10 to 50 years ago.
I still think Milwaukee is definitely an underrated city. People give it so much shit, but most of the people in Wisconsin give it shit because they're racist.
Yeah. No,
like, Milwaukee is like a legitimate, like really cool place to go. It's not like a big city. It doesn't have a lot going for it that way, but like it's got a lot of cool stuff going on. Madison sucks ass, always has.
Illinois is probably the only real city in the entire region.
Well, no, Minneapolis is a real city, right? What's the population of Minneapolis?
Not anywhere near Chicago.
Well, yeah.
That's for sure.
Chicago is like top five in the country. Yeah, oh, no three. Way. It says, okay, I got to go metro.
You're doing urban. I'm sure you're looking at urban.
Metro
also, Minneapolis,
population.
St. Paul. Yeah, you need the bind.
Minneapolis, St. Paul, Bloomington. Oh, they added a third one.
Bloomington.
Triplet
right
cities. 3.7 million.
Yeah. No, that's not. There's places in Ohio with more than that. Chicago's almost 10.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, so I'm a big fan of Chi-Town, but is it really fair if we let that one city carry Illinois all the way to the top?
I mean, it's like 75% of the state's population.
Also true.
So it is hard not to let it carry it a little bit.
Because it's, yeah, it's the whole ass state.
Yeah, it is the state.
It's like the people that are like, California, like, it's actually pretty red if you look at a map, and it's because the desert, there's the five people that live out there. Yeah.
Like, you can't let New York City carry New York State. And it's like, okay, so it's literally New York City is the state. And then there's Albany and Buffalo. Like, that's it. That's the whole thing. That's the tweet.
You know what? Actually, I've decided I'm okay with this. As somebody fond of Chicago, I'll be the first to say, yeah, Illinois, you got Chicago, and then just wastelands of suck. But yeah. Chicago, pretty good.
Illinois is Indiana with a good city. Like, it's the same it's the same state, except for the fact that it has a major metropolis with unbelievable history, beautiful architecture, and like a thriving young population, unlike everywhere else in the Midwest.
It was a joke when I lived in Chicago that, like, I mean, yeah, Chicago, but Indiana has fireworks and cheap beer.
They do have fireworks. That was a big part of my childhood, is our next door neighbor's 4th of July parties, where you would drive down just across the border into Indiana to buy a bunch of illegal fireworks and light them off. Big ol' thing.
Illinois number one, then?
Oh, fuck no. Illinois is never going to be number one.
It's
just being carried. Yeah, I think it's got to be Minnesota, which makes me want to die, but I think it has to be.
Which sucks ass. I mean, like, Minnesota... Wisconsin does have, like, some, you know, just gorgeous, like, parts of the state, but, like, Minnesota has basically all of that, and then just none of the bad politics. Yeah.
It's just a better Wisconsin, which is why I think we hate them so much. Like,
it's two people that are exactly the same, but one of them makes a little bit more money and doesn't have some childhood trauma.
Better. And, like, I genuinely have no idea, like, what universities are like in Minnesota. Better colleges in Wisconsin?
I think Wisconsin would have the slight edge.
Yeah. Okay.
I think UW and Twin Cities is pretty much a push, but I think the UW system is better than the Minnesota system.
I think UW is supposed to be a better college. Like, I'm going to stand on that one.
I think they're pretty close.
Twin Cities are, like, good, but I think UW is, like, pretty well regarded.
I think they're pretty close. I think they're, like, within 10 ranking spots. Mm. I'm looking at U.S. News and World Report for fun, because it's full of shit. It's like an IQ test, but for colleges. Wisconsin. Ooh, boy, that's not good. I also know Wisconsin has taken a huge hit because we don't invest in our system. All right, we're number 38 right now. Tied with UT Austin and UC Davis.
Ooh,
I'm glad. Actually, I like that we're tied with Austin. That's a fucking good school right there.
Oh, okay.
Ooh, that's not good for Minnesota. And they're not in the top 50 anymore.
Oh,
damn. Ohio State's in the top 50. That's fucking rough.
Gross.
Yeah, Twin Cities is down to number 62 right now.
Where's Michigan? Just to get that.
Number 20, I'm sure.
Fuck.
Number 25, yeah.
Oh, well, spitting distance at least.
It's tied with USC and NYU. No, it's kind of in that next tier. Yeah, it's clearly in that next tier. We're good, but we're not.
Yeah.
We're not public Ivy good.
I mean, there's that tier above us. Michigan's like a 75% private school.
Right. So is Berkeley and UCLA and all these other, like, yeah.
Yeah.
They all got a lot of private money, and that's why they're so good.
We ain't got
that. They are public.
No.
They do offer discounts for in-state tuition.
And then last but not least, I am Lucas DeRuyter, and I am at large as the building manager for my apartment building. Well, the actual one is out of town this week. Yes, I'm aware of this coinciding with the hurricane hitting, tropical storm, I'm sorry, hitting Los Angeles. I would like to know, though, what are some fun changes I could make to my building while I have any amount of power?
Yeah, I want to ask Andrew this question. No vetting process. There was the building manager just gave Lucas a bunch of keys and said, here you go.
Yeah.
And I was like, I was like, do you have like the master key to people's units? And he's like, I don't, but I have the key that unlocks the box that has the master. And I was like, that seems really bad and irresponsible that they gave that power to you. I get that, like, you're not going to do anything bad, but someone could.
Yeah,
like...
wait, hold, what? What?
Yeah.
Okay, so your landlord said, I'm going to be out of town for a little bit. Here's all the keys. You're in charge of the apartment.
Building manager, but yeah, essentially.
How many people live in your building?
There are like 33 units in the building, anywhere between 60 and 100.
Holy shit. I thought, I don't know what your situation is at your apartment. I was like, okay, this is like a building that has like 3 units in it. That's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
This is a... It's a legit ass apartment with a bunch of people. Yeah.
Lucas could get the master key, rob every unit, make away with hundreds of thousands of dollars, and be out of the state.
I would say your landlord, I would want to say that they're a good judge of character because they picked the right person that wouldn't do that shit, but I think it's probably more just that they got really lucky that they didn't give the keys to a fucking serial killer.
Yeah.
I mean, I was kind of more or less told that, like, hey, so a part of these, a part of my responsibilities are turning lights off in the lobby, like towards the end of the day, you know, so we don't draw attention from people on the street in the middle of the night. There's no switch for those, though, so I just have to reach up and physically, like, jostle the light bulb until the circuit breaks.
You're unscrewing the light bulbs.
Like a little bit enough, like they're still in the socket but not like on,
and you just didn't like miss where the light switch was, or
no, I during the walkthrough I was told there's no light switch, and I was also told part of why I picked you for this is because you're tall and you can do this no problem.
See, the qualifications are tall, not moral.
Hey.
Tall.
What the fuck? Dude, that's crazy.
And it's not like Lucas has been there for a really long time. You moved in less than a year ago, still get all the power.
Hey, I mean, I would say if this were a video game, you gotta do what you gotta do and do some. It's not even breaking and entering. You're in charge of the building now.
I am.
Doing maintenance and take all the jewelry.
No,
in a video game.
I think I'm gonna start a composting heap in the back of my building.
Do it in the lobby.
Right.
Yeah.
You're in charge. Oh, no, what you really should do, take this opportunity to change all of the locks and then just not let the building manager back in.
So, like, this had been mentioned as a problem, and as I think this out a little bit, this is probably quietly an issue in most apartment buildings everywhere. All of the keys for the building, all of the backup keys, one, some of them just don't work because tenants privately and personally changed the lock to the units and then never informed some of management. So like, people get locked out there. Some people, there's nothing I can do. But for a lot of the other ones, like at this point, a lot of the backup keys are copies of copies of copies of keys. So there's a Xerox effect of, some of these just might not work. They might be too far away from true at this point to actually unlock the lock. So, in that case, you will have to tell them to call a locksmith.
It's fun.
Yeah.
I mean,
could go full Caesar.
At this point, you got to just hope that there's some sort of crime so that you can, like, do a little murder investigation and solve the case.
You have an ancestor who, like, fucking took hold of power somewhere in your lineage.
Yeah.
Someone was like, they had what's it called? Like, success is opportunity meets fucking execution. Like, it's that easy. So someone somewhere in your lineage was given opportunity and they fucking executed and they became powerful. You have been given opportunity. And that ancestor is screaming in your DNA.
Execute!
Execute, motherfucker! And you've resisted thus far, but yeah, it, it wouldn't take much to cement your fiefdom and
hey,
just these are yours now.
We had a whole thing on the podcast a while ago about how you wanted to become a slumlord.
Yeah.
This is your chance, man. This is your chance.
California laws are pretty lenient on a lot of this stuff. Like, I'm not saying you would get away with it, but you would definitely have an extended period of time.
You could because go in of that all the office, protections. Yeah. Change some documents out, like take out all the pictures of that guy's family, put in your own, and just say that you never worked here and I'm calling the police if you come back.
Yeah.
Listen, realistically, if I wanted to push this, if I wanted to take on this burden, vague position of authority in the midst of, I'm generously going to refer to this as a natural disaster. I could push to turn this building into a co-op, and like now would be the time.
Yeah, a co-op where you get the money.
Yeah.
Hey everyone, you want to join my co-op? Here's how it works. You get a 0% stake in all of the property, and
you give
me 100%.
You give me all of the money you've ever made, and I get to have sex with your wife.
Yeah.
Also, I'm God.
Prima Nocta. We're bringing it back.
Mormonism. Moving to the news of the week, editor-in-chief of Kotaku, Patricia Hernandez, was fired by GeoMedia, the chucklebucks who gutted Deadspin and are running AI-generated articles on their websites, supposedly after a personal disagreement. As a fan of Kotaku, I am bummed about this, and as I have spent way too much time thinking about IGN's director of video pulling that Fox News shit regarding Baldur's Gate last week, I'm feeling bad. I'm feeling bad about reporting and criticism around a medium of art that is meaningful to me.
Yeah. Same as it ever was.
Same as it ever was. You guys ever wish magazines were a thing again? Do you have any fondness for magazines, or are we all too young to really? No, nothing.
I liked zoo books.
No.
As a child, I never really got into magazines, legitimate ass magazines. I read Times Magazine like religiously in middle school, but that died pretty fast.
Like the aughts, the mid and late aughts, great time to read Time Magazine.
Right.
And a lot of weird takes about the Middle East.
Oh yeah. Like I know things I shouldn't know.
Who the fuck is GO Media? Like, they were formed in 2019.
Yep.
Is it Gawker that
went
bankrupt and then spun off?
I mean, GO Media, they're a, what are they called? Private equity, right?
So GO Media is the company that something Tree Hill, the private equity firm, that bought the Gawker collection of websites, created essentially to run all of them because Gawker was sued into the ground by Hulk Hogan, but mostly Peter Thiel, and they couldn't really operate. They couldn't really refer to themselves as the Gawker brand, suite of websites anymore.
Wait, Peter Thiel got in on this? What?
Oh, he
was all
it,
Peter
yeah.
Thiel. Mm-hmm. Peter Thiel is what caused Gawker to go bankrupt. It wasn't
really.
He had a disagreement with the CEO of Gawker, right? Because of like some tabloid shit or something.
Yes, yeah.
And he just always held a grudge. And then the Hulk Hogan sex tape thing came up and he saw it as like, here's an opportunity to just literally bankrupt them. Mm. And so he just personally funded that entire thing and took them down single-handedly. So, yeah. And now the CEO of GO Media ran Forbes.
Ooh.
So that's cool.
You guys remember Forbes?
It's still around. Weird articles.
In the same way Kotaku is still around. I shouldn't say that. I know people who work there and they are fantastic. And I wish the people managing that company, those companies, were better.
Yeah. No, there's nothing you can do.
In relation to this, Major tech YouTube channel Linus Tech Tips is under fire for seemingly intentionally spreading false information about a product sent to them for review, as it allowed them to increase their engagement. Yeah, this is some like old YouTube shit. It's like some 2008 YouTube shit. It's weird. Yeah.
Like they, I remember that they like said good things about it because they were getting paid, or they like said fake bad things about it to drive engagement. Like what?
Fake bad things.
Hmm.
And then I remember one of the weirdest elements of this is like so that video of them roasting, I think it was like a custom PC cooler.
Yeah.
That went viral. The Kickstarter company asked them to like return the part after they reviewed it, and also like pointed out several times in the comments of that video, and I think directly to them, like, hey, I think y'all misused this part. I think you used this with the wrong PC components that it is not rated to cool. They ignored that. But then instead of returning that, they auctioned it off, I guess, as a stunt. Yeah. No, this is weird. It was weird in small time.
Wasn't there like a sex thing too with Linus Tech Tips?
I thought I saw that. Linus Tech. Oh.
Yeah, like some sort of Me Too type thing, I thought.
Linus Tech. Oh boy, it's not great when controversy is the auto populates in the Google search.
Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. Failed to do due diligence.
Oh,
blah,
toxic blah, work blah. Environment and sexual harassment made by a former employee.
Yeah.
According to Forbes. Hey.
I'm seeing Forbes. They're around.
Forbes, gang.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Linus, what the hell?
Not Linus.
The whole world's going to hell.
Speaking of very 2008, do you guys remember the movie The Blind Side being weirdly prominent in our childhoods?
Yeah.
Weirdly. It was like an Oscar movie.
Yeah, huh? Dude, I liked that movie when I watched it. Yeah.
It's about football.
Huh. Right. Yeah. It's bogus.
Yeah. I mean, that was always kind of...
Yeah. We always did know that it was, bullshit. Like, the whole football thing was fabricated. The guy was a... really good football player when they met him. Like the whole storyline where Sandra Bullock is like teaching him how to block is just
bullshit.
Utter bullshit, like from the beginning. And Michael Orr, when it came out, said like, it really made me look stupid. Like I knew how to play football. I had played it my whole life. Like I was a poor foster kid. I wasn't slow, you know, like, I don't know. They definitely, like, from the jump, it was kind of inaccurate, so it was interesting.
Yeah, and just good movie. Like, I saw something, like, someone said that Sandra Bullock should give her Oscar back, or her whatever award that she won back. It's like, she played a part. She
portrayed a character.
Yeah.
She played a very Sandra Bullock role.
It was based on a book. Like,
yeah.
So there's even another layer there where, like, if the book has inaccuracies... and then the movie dramatizes this inaccurate book. Yeah, what are you going to do?
She didn't take money from this kid.
Like, yeah.
No,
she didn't, personally. Like, she was going to get paid no matter what. That's the whole thing.
Some people took money from Michael Orr, who now said... he's said this for a while, but now especially so. Michael Orr says The Blind Side is totally bogus, and that the Tui family...
Yeah, I think that's how you pronounce it.
That the Tui family exploited him, tricked him into signing a conservatorship, that they did not actually adopt him, and that he made no money off of the film while the rest of the family was paid for the use of his likeness.
Yeah.
Classic.
Here's where I am, because a lot of people, you have the Tui family's, you know, counter argument that, they don't even make that much money. They've always split it five ways, everything like that. But like, it's wrong because it just boils down to like, you literally in the book and in the movie, you make multiple references to how you adopted this kid.
Right.
And you never did that. And then you lied about it. Like, that in and of itself is shitty enough. This is a kid who was in like 11 different foster homes and had about the roughest childhood you can possibly imagine, to the point where he was basically homeless. Like, yeah, that's, and then you just lie and say like, yeah, we basically became his family and did all this stuff. And it's like, no, you created a conservatorship. Like, it's not the same.
You taking possession of this kid, which is basically what they do, and you take legal control of someone's likeness and you make money off of them, you're taking possession of that human being.
Well, they're saying they didn't make money off of him. So that's what I'm saying is, like, even without the, like, making money off of him part, it's still remarkably shitty. Like, to even avoid the part that's in conflict, the part that is not actual fact, it's still unbelievably shitty. Like, the undisputed facts of the case are the Tuohys are terrible people. Now we can move on to the disputed part, in which the bad people who are making insane claims versus this guy who really doesn't need money. Like, this guy who made tens of millions of dollars during a successful NFL career and doesn't, like, need any more money and is just being like, hey, this whole thing, like, people need to know that it's shit. Like,
Especially considering that, and forgive me, I added this, but I forgot to link to the article. So apparently in Tennessee, adult adoption is a thing. The Tuohy family said that they couldn't adopt him because he was 18, but that is...
That's what they told him, yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But it's completely bullshit.
Yeah.
And then, also they adopted him before he was 18. Adopted, quote unquote.
Yeah, they claimed that they adopted him. Yeah.
But then the only way that someone can be placed under a conservatorship in Tennessee is to have a medical professional claim that that person, or verify, say in a statement that that person is either to some degree physically or mentally disabled.
Right. Which they probably used his grades, and like literally this kid went to who even God knows how many different schools in how many different years and had no consistent education ever.
And like you said, was basically homeless.
Right.
Didn't go to school, I'm assuming, for a while.
Right. When he finally got into like a somewhat stable position, instantly improved his grades to the point where he was able to get a D1 scholarship and became remarkably successful. Like, yeah, no, it's utter bullshit. And he even claims that his career was shortened because coaches treated him differently because of the blind side. Like, they all kind of thought that he was a little dumb and that he didn't know what he was doing, and they just had to treat him like a remarkably gifted idiot, you know, instead of like, nah, he's just a normal guy. Like, he's capable of being a leader. He is capable of all this stuff. And yeah, like, was he ever an elite NFL player? No, but I think his career earnings were like $40 million. Played left and right tackle 7 seasons. Like, nah.
Yeah, that's if you get drafted in the first round, you're guaranteed a decent chunk of change.
Like, and then he got, I think, two more contracts after that. Mm. So, no, he was good. He was above replacement level.
But then this is very clearly like personal beef playing out in the press a little bit here, but just, I don't know. This is fucked. This is a fucked situation.
Yeah. I mean, and then like, yeah, it's the one of the quintessential white savior movies.
Right.
Oh yeah.
So now let's add into the fact that the white savior part is sure overstated.
What is a football movie that is not aged in a complicated way at this point? We got The Blind Side. Draft Day is weird now that the Cleveland Browns have a known sexual predator at quarterback.
Draft Day was never a good
first
movie.
Yeah, that's an interesting first pick. NFL football movie classic.
Dude, you could have said Remember the Titans.
I feel like it's Remember the Titans. Remember the Titans.
Like a movie just drenched in racial issues.
But I feel like Remember the Titans, look, maybe I need to rewatch. Like, I think that's the message of the movie, right? Is how
it's togetherness.
Up
all
this is.
They probably don't get everything right, but like the general like idea behind the movie is like, you should be united and equal, which is not a bad message to have. So
right,
there's We Are Marshall, which I only saw once, so yeah, I can't really remember too much. Oh, what was the one with Mark Wahlberg in it where he's like the walk-on that joins the Philadelphia Eagles? Invincible,
yeah, that's probably not. I can't imagine considering it had Mark Wahlberg. But yeah, Remember the Titans was written by a black man. Like, I think I have to imagine Remember the Titans did a pretty good job. Okay. I was like, that was what I wanted to do. I was like, all right, let's look at the big names that made Remember the Titans. And if there are no black people, then yeah, I'm going to assume it's a little rough. But no, black man wrote it. I'm sure it did as good of a job as you can do in the year 2000.
Hmm.
Yeah, what, fucking Any Given Sunday? I don't know.
Okay.
I might have some bad stuff. I haven't seen that in a while either.
I don't think I've ever seen it.
Oh, you gotta watch Any Given Sunday, dude. Potentially the best sports speech of all time. Like, and I don't say that lightly. Like, I know Miracle and some of these others are out there, but Any Given Sunday might be the best one. If nothing else, just look up Any Given Sunday
speech,
motivational speech, okay, and just watch that scene.
Oh, then I can play that.
Watch the scene unedited, because yeah, a lot of people will add like some sappy like music in the with the original score
in the background. Sylvester Stallone's going like, "It's not about how hard you can hit."
Yeah, as Al Pacino's giving his speech, Sylvester Stallone is overlapping the audio.
That's something. That's something people would try to do with AI and then just slap it on TikTok.
Yeah.
Also, Cards on the Table Draft Day was so front of mind because my TikTok has been surfacing clips from the movie Draft Day.
Why?
Probably because I've been looking up fantasy football shit on my phone.
Draft Day, though.
That's a weird, not a big or successful movie to just randomly pop up on your phone.
Not like The League or anything like that.
Oh, I've gotten the clips from The League as well. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, what? Okay. No, yeah. That maybe broke even Draft Day. Maybe.
Costner in sports movies. Name a more whatever duo. Name a more mixed duo. Yeah. Name a more sometimes good, sometimes bad duo.
Ryan and mine's phones are buzzing because the flash flood warning has been extended to 3 a.m. our time. I didn't realize they sent an alert for an extension, but okay. Yeah, fair.
Yeah, because when I got the first flash flood warning and it said until 8 p.m. or whatever, I was like, oh man, 8:01, I'm gonna head up into the mountains and drive on some sketchy mountain roads.
I'm going to take my low clearance car for a nice leisurely drive through the country.
Yeah. Through the canyon. I'm going to like drive along the bottom of the canyon.
I'm going to drive to the ocean.
Yeah.
I saw two people packing up a U-Haul like two or three houses down this morning. And I was like, seems like they mistimed that. But then I saw that a surfboard in there, and then I'm like, they're fine. They're good to go.
Yeah, they can plan for the hurricane.
I've seen a lot of people at Disney today, and I'm jealous. Ooh. Like those wait times, they're just zero. They're getting on fucking Smuggler's Run with a 10-minute standby wait, and I'm like, God damn.
I don't know if I want to get on a roller coaster in the rain.
Yeah, but that's why you get the discount, my man. That's why there's no wait. You have to weigh.
There's no way they give you a discount. And, like, no, yeah, I mean, no way.
A discount in time. Time is money, Andrew. Time is fucking money. Oh, okay. Come on now.
Yeah. No, have you heard of the places that, like, if there's some sort of natural disaster, they will say, like, come on in and get, like, whatever free amount of money?
No.
Like, so my parents are degenerates and they go to casinos now.
Of course,
seems like a thing that develops past a certain age, right?
Yeah, for sure. And like every time there's like a really bad snowstorm or something, they'll get text alerts on their phone like, come on down to Ho-Chunk Casino and get like 25 free, you know, bucks on the house. And it's like without fail, like any, or like I can't remember what it was, some at one point there was like a nationwide crisis and they got a text, they're like, come on down to the casino.
Yeah. One of my favorite clips of all time, I think I've sent it to you guys, is the one guy who's being interviewed on the sidewalk by those random guys who have a podcast that they do on the sidewalk, who's at an anti-mask rally. And he's like, one of the things I like to do is disaster tourism.
Oh, yeah. They're like, I went to Beirut after two girls got their head cut.
Yeah. It was like a couple weeks after two girls got their heads cut off. I was the only one there. It was great. They gave me all the special treatment. They were so happy. I was there. Like, he's just so pleasant about like this horrible thing. But like, at the end of the day, that's not the immoral thing that he's doing. Like, look, you're contributing to a tourist market that's definitely struggling in that exact minute. It's
he's like, there was an earthquake that killed a bunch of people in Peru. And then I had round trip, $200. And like, no problem.
It's just the way he says it. I feel like most people would be like, oh, yeah, I kind of like went in there. Like most people would have some shame, but he's just so happy-go-lucky about the whole thing.
Like, he's like, look, yeah, I figured it out.
People died, and I just like, I don't know. I was like, I didn't even remember what the example they gave. They're just like, yeah, so like horrifying tsunami, a bunch of people die. You're like kayak.com, like typing it in that second. He's like, pretty much. Like, just fully like, yeah, absolutely.
Because in the reporting, you do lose the scale of how big like these places are where these events take place. Like we're in the midst of a tropical storm in Southern California and like Los Angeles, relatively fine. I think like
we're completely fine.
Yeah.
It is a rain. There's no thunder. There's no lightning. Like we are getting a day of rain. That is it.
Yeah. So, yeah. Like, I don't know. Maybe San Diego got fucked up a little bit. Maybe Baja got fucked up a little bit, but
Baja might have, yeah.
Okay.
But no, San Diego.
Yeah, just because it's so much farther south. I mean, like 2 days ago, it was a Category 4.
Yeah.
So
it downgraded real fast.
Yeah, they always do. But like the farther away from mainland you are, the worse you get it.
Yeah. That's what the guy said too, is like, he was like, when I got there, like the resorts had all these armed guards. Like they were so careful because this bad thing just happened. So it's like security is safer than ever, like in a lot of ways. Yeah.
Hmm.
I don't know. Let's do it, guys.
No,
we're gonna make a movie about people that pay people to do terrorist attacks in places they want to go on vacation.
They're shorting the tourist market in that region. They're like, it's like a reverse Scooby-Doo where they're trying to actually, no, not even reverse, it's just a straight up Scooby-Doo. They're trying to drive down property values in that region and then buy up all the resorts and everything when they're cheap. That's a full-blown Scooby-Doo.
Are the bad guys in Scooby-Doo terrorists?
I mean, it depends on like whether or not political action can be the act of like property ownership. Like it's
as
kind
a
of
socialist
political.
Yes,
right.
Yeah,
it is kind of political to own private property. So it like terrorism is just using fear and terroristic threats to enact a political agenda. So if your political agenda is I want to own property, then I guess that's kind of terroristic for sure.
Yeah, I mean, like, there is no, widely accepted definition of terrorism. And the whole idea that there's this thing in the law about, like, terroristic threats and, like, just kind of, like, expands that. It's like, okay, is saying, you know, I'm going to kill you if you don't get out of the store, hey, that's a terroristic threat.
Right.
Is that terrorism? I don't know.
What is the body count of, like, fucking OG Scooby-Doo?
Ooh.
Like, how many genuine dead people are there in the first Hanna-Barbera cartoon?
Not a lot. I don't think there's really...
I feel like there's more than one, though, right?
So
like, that's not
on.
Just me.
To define this, are we saying, like, people who were killed, like, as a part of the gimmick? Or, like, they...
Or, like, there's a story of, like, this guy died 100 years ago because of blah, 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 and now his ghost looks for revenge.
No story. Like,
I don't...
People who died from this.
I don't know of any OG Scooby-Doo episodes where, like, somebody ends up dead, like, as part of the plot. I don't know if there is any.
The closest there has been is the inferred deaths, such as alligator attack in the feature length movie Scooby-Doo on Zombie Island.
I was going to say, because the zombies in Scooby-Doo Zombie Island presumably were alive at one point.
Well, right. No, there are, like, the cats kill people. Like, they cut away as it's about to happen. But, like, the cat ladies do straight up maul people to death.
Right. In Zombie Island, Morgan Moonscar and his gang of pirates were slain by that movie's signature antagonists, the cats.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they definitely did kill people. But again, I don't think that's that's not Hanna-Barbera. There's an interesting on fandom. They have just a death counter for Monsters Unleashed, like Scooby-Doo Monsters Unleashed. And they've got many people, cause of death, drowned in tar, killer, the tar monster, on screen, yes. Like, the tar monster just fucking brutally causes people to asphyxiate on tar on screen.
Wasn't there a moment, though, towards the end of that movie where, like, you know, they solve the problem and the monsters disappear and, like, all the people that were choking on tar for the last 45 minutes, like, go, oh, man, thank God I'm all right now.
I think that's the Act 3 people. I think that the people that were, being choked by the tar monster in Act 3 live, but I think the people who were getting choked by the tar monster in Act 1, I don't think they made it, man.
I don't think the tar monster shows up till Act 3.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I have no idea. Captain Cutler ran over. That's one of the villains. I don't think that counts.
He's a ghost. Like, he's already dead. He was a ghost.
Miner 49er. Cotton Candy Glob. He was eaten. I remember that one. On screen, no. But I think Cotton Candy went flying. Like, that's kind of like blood and guts flying out, like
that's his pretty
screen. Yeah, no, like the only, they have many people drowned in tar by the tar monster on screen. Yes, unnamed man strangled, suffocated with tar by the tar monster. Yes,
yeah, wasn't that one of the not Zack Snyder? Who's the head of the DCU?
Yeah, fucking Jesus Christ, Guardians. Suicide Squad.
Why? Lucas, help us out here.
Come on, Lucas. You know his name. Edgelord, man. You got accused of pedophilia because he had weird old tweets.
James Gunn.
Yeah, wasn't it James Gunn?
That was his cameo where he's getting suffocated by the tar monster.
Because doesn't he yell at the windows like, move that hunk of tin? And then the like fucking tar monster kills his ass.
There you go. So there's a death.
Yeah. I'm just enamored by this list of deaths wiki. Adminned by a user named Crackhead McGee.
as someone who has reached out to people in the fandom community, like, because, like, just for work, just to be like, hey, you had any information about this thing that, like, could be interesting? Like, yeah, some of the usernames are pretty funny. Like,
yep.
People have not necessarily thought that through in any sort of professional context in the slightest. But also, this is Scooby-Doo Mystery Incorporated, which is, like, the adult Netflix cartoon, right?
Not Netflix. That one ran on Cartoon Network, but that is a little more like a TV, young adult, like kind of Arrowverse shit. It's probably a fair comparison.
CW? Also,
yes.
Vast majority of these deaths are later revived.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Still 40. Still 40 people who bit it.
And then came back. How many came back? How many real irreversible deaths were there in Scooby-Doo Mystery Incorporated? 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, but well, again, that's... Oh, wait, no. They have a cat on here. Hold on.
Wow.
They have a straight-up just cat. That doesn't count.
Does not count. No soul.
No.
Not because
you lived with a cat for how long, and all of a sudden a cat is a dead person?
I'm doing shtick.
Yeah. No, I don't know. It doesn't seem like there's any in the original Hanna-Barbera.
Hmm.
No, a zero body count. That's a...
That's a rare woman.
Yeah.
Just some incel shit out here. Yo, I like my women like I like my Hanna-Barbera Scooby-Doo cartoons. No body count.
Is it called Scooby-Doo Mystery Incorporated? What was the OG? No, it's not.
It was just Scooby-Doo, right?
Not. Scooby-Doo, where are you?
Is that it?
Yeah.
Scooby-Doo, where are you? Aha, American animated series, 1969, three seasons. There you go. Brainiac Velma, Jock Fred, Fashionista Daphne, Hippie Shaggy, and Shaggy's high-strung, talking Great Dane Scooby-Doo.
One of these things, high-strung? Like the other.
Is, that's a mean word for Scooby-Doo.
He's got fucking anxiety.
Like. Yeah, what's Scooby-Doo do? He's scared. There's a bunch of fucking ghosts running around. Shaggy's equally scared, and he's high all the time. Like,
is Fred a jock? I thought he was just rich.
No, he's definitely a jock.
Yeah,
100%.
Also, he's the like third a polo jock.
The third season was 9 years after the first two. The first two aired on CBS in 1969 and 1970, and then ABC brought it back 9 years later.
That's another season. I remember reading about that.
Was Red Shaggy in between there at some point?
I don't know.
That's horrifying. I think Red Shaggy was entirely after. Like, that was a wholly independent spinoff. Right.
They recast Velma for season three. They recast Daphne after season one, but everyone else was the same.
It's weird, since I think the guy who's been doing Fred has been doing it, like, always.
Same with Shaggy. Casey Kasem did Shaggy forever.
Matthew Lillard's been doing it for a while, hasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, Casey Kasem died in what, like 2010 or something? 2014?
Oh, I thought Matthew Lillard's been doing it before that.
I mean, he was doing the live action things, and then I think he took over the animated stuff after. And maybe Casey Kasem's voice changed as he got older. We all saw it with Incredibles 2, where we're just like, ooh, some of these voices are... This is probably the last Incredibles. I don't know how they're going to... Some of these voices are noticeably older at this point.
I don't know why, but that's personally hilarious to me. Like, yeah, voicing Fred and or Shaggy. Steady work if you can get it.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy how short the original series was, considering how much of a cultural impact just in general Scooby-Doo has. I don't know when it took off to become this giant behemoth that it is today.
I think once it got to ABC, they really started... Well, and like with a bunch of other Hanna-Barbera cartoons too, they really, really hammered that home. Spinoffs, like celebrity guest stars, like
Harlem Globetrotters and shit.
Yeah, dude,
everyone knows that.
David Cross eventually, which is a weird get, but okay.
Eventually is doing a lot of heavy lifting there. I'm imagining 1960s Scooby-Doo, and all of a sudden, modern comedian David Cross shows up. Doing his shtick. I blew myself, and we're all like, what the fuck is happening?
Hey, I got 10 minutes of Tobias Fünke material. You want me to just do that?
I've got some Roosevelt Democrat shtick. You want to hear that? Jesus. David Cross, establishment Democrat through and through.
Vocally. And you're gonna hear about that because Elon Musk's getting rid of the block feature on Twitter. Is that one dude who published Elon's private jet flight path totally legally, by the way? Is he back now?
I doubt it. Yeah.
Elon has total control. He then went on to brag about how cool it is to block people. Like, after he took away the block feature, people were complaining, and he was like, I love blocking the people complaining about not being blocked. Like, it's so fun that people are getting a taste of their own medicine. And it's like, that's not what that fucking means. What?
Yeah.
People complain to you that, like, the block feature is important. And it's come out that, like, maybe even in areas it's, like, illegal to take that away.
Mm-hmm.
And you proceed to block them and say, isn't it cool that I'm blocking these people for complaining about how they can't block people? It's interesting. That's for sure.
I don't want to give it to him, but is this all part of an elaborate plan? Like, if Twitter goes under, if Twitter declares bankruptcy, is Elon off the hook for at least a portion of the money he paid for it? Is that erratic behavior? Okay.
I mean, like, that transaction went through. He paid the money. And the people that were the owners that got the money, they're gone now. Like, I don't know.
Nope. And I think your favorite, Jack, he praised the whole block thing. I was like, yeah,
Jack
this is a good move.
Jack fucking sucks. Like,
Jack's a
weird ass libertarian. You love Blue Sky. You're a huge fan of Jack's creation.
I am enjoying Blue Sky. And like, yeah. If you guys want to get in on that, still have a couple of invite codes.
Do you have stock in Blue Sky or something? You've been pushing this shit so
emotional
hard.
Stock. I want cool people on there posting shit. Y'all can get in on Tummy Tuesday. Come on.
Tummy Tuesday? Nope. Yeah. Nope. Never mind. Don't want to know. Nope. We're moving
we'll
on.
Take the bait. Andrew's like,
Lucas, what are we talking about next?
Oppenheimer.
I didn't see it.
Yeah. What?
I was like, I don't think Andrew's seen it.
Have you seen it, Ryan?
We saw it together yesterday.
Oh, damn. Yeah. So again, no time. I was in Atlanta, and then I was in Green Lake, and now I'm here as of like 2 hours ago.
What are you in Green Lake for?
In-law's birthday. We rented a pontoon. We took it out on the lake.
No. Oh.
And then we met up with my parents to go to a steak fry, and my in-laws just came with us, and it's pretty crowded, but it was fun. It was a good time.
What are your parents? This might be personal, but I love to ask.
Yeah, I'm an open book.
What's the in-law relationship with your parents? Like,
there isn't a whole lot of one.
Right. Like a lot of times when girlfriends who are friends, like that's the meme I feel like is like two girlfriends are friends and then their boyfriends, like they expect them to like each other.
I was going to say
force
like,
them together.
When you're in college and you have a mutual friend and they're like, hey, yeah, come out to my party this weekend. And then you get there and then there's like four people that you've never met.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, yeah, you seem all right. The only reason we're here in the same room is because of Chet. Like, It's the same kind of vibe. They get along, like they joke around with each other when they're there, but they've only been in the same room as each other like four times ever. Like
separation of church and state. It's not one big family.
Yeah.
My parents met my partner Maria's parents once at a breakfast that we had kind of organized when they both happened to be in town in Los Angeles for a while. I'm trying to think if they'd have any reason, any opportunity to see each other outside of Maria and like, I eventually getting married, maybe. And like, that's it, I think.
You guys, one, haven't been together like that long and also live in a completely different part of the country as your parents. My parents and my in-laws could see each other every single weekend.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and it would not be a problem. They live really close to each other.
There you go. Bring it up. Just like stir that pot.
How come
a
you
bit.
Guys aren't better friends?
Yeah, it's weird that you guys don't like hang out without us. You know, like I feel like you guys should. You're family, right?
Yeah.
Actually, what are they family? What is that? Right? What is the term for your child's spouse's parents to you? Like, because I feel like.
It's like, yeah, because you wouldn't call them your in-laws.
Right.
They're not, my dad and my father-in-law are not brothers-in-law. Like, that's not how it works.
Right, because it would be your, like, uncle-in-law would be how you refer to your spouse's parent. Like,
or, like, cousin-in-law.
For them to be brothers.
Something. And it's just, you're introducing a whole layer of relation that doesn't belong there.
But it is, because that's the original purpose of marriage, was to unite, like, one layer up, you know? Like, you marry your child so that you have an alliance with the generation that's equal to you. So, there was an actual in-law bond back in the day. For that, I don't know what they would call it. How dare you kill your clone in law? It's your father and your father-in-law.
Oh yeah, like yeah. These are both my dads. These are my two dads.
So then, your mother-in-law would be your dad's wife-in-law. Like weird shit, man.
I know all of us are iffy to very negative on having kids someday, but I imagine this is just like an elevated version of a thing a lot of parents must go through where your kid has a friend and it's like, oh, well, they're really good friends. I should probably get to know their parents. And then just the vibes are terrible. Like, maybe they're perfectly fine people, but it's like, no, I don't want to be friends with my kid's friend's parent. Like, just, no, ew. None of that. Yeah,
we ran into a certain relative of mine that was at the steak fry by coincidence, like completely unrelated, who was drunk on his ass that just like fucking inserted himself into our conversation. Like, when are you guys having a kid? He's like, we're not.
No, you gotta hit him harder. All the shit I see is just like, oh, we're sterile. Just like with a blank face. Just like, oh, no, we can't have kids.
I don't have a
and
penis,
just make them,
Randy.
Just make them fucking die. Just make them square. Oh, I didn't know. Like, oh, yeah, you didn't know? Like, just like, just
I just
burn them with a magnifying glass like the ants they are.
He's like, come on, I'm not leaving until you say you are. And he's like, we're not. Get the fuck out of here.
No.
Two things. One, I did find out this past week that my work's insurance does at least partially cover vasectomies, which is interesting.
Partially. Yeah. You get one ball, not the other.
Like a copay or whatever. Is this the same guy? Was this the same in-law that was like encouraging me to fuck Jade's sister at your wedding?
Who was doing that?
I think it was on Jade's side of the family.
No, this guy was on my side of the family. Oh, okay. I don't know what you're talking about. Let's talk about that after the podcast.
It was a long night. I'm sorry. I thought I brought it up.
That's fun. No, yeah. You got to get like really in detail. Like, no, I had a testicular torsion in college and I am completely infertile. I will never have children. Like, just with the most stone face delivery, staring like direct eye contact. Like, hey, motherfucker, but you're never going to bring this up ever again with anyone because it's super personal and weird.
I've not worn a condom since 2015. Haven't had to.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the advice I've heard.
Okay. Well,
you got to break it out. You won't get any more follow-ups.
This is what we talk about when we can't talk about Oppenheimer.
Testicular torsion.
Yeah.
My balls heard of that? Are weird.
Have you heard of that? It's terrifying.
Yeah. I kind of had that once.
That hits me at the same level as like fear of cluster headaches in terms of like severe like paranoid phobias of health issues.
I've had both.
You've had cluster headaches?
Yeah, dude. That shit fucking sucks. It's bad.
Don't they like make you commit suicide?
No, like
that's what I read.
People that get cluster headaches like regularly, I'm sure. I've gotten one once. Like I get bad headaches a lot. I've had what I think is a cluster headache like once or maybe twice, and it was just like the worst I've ever felt in my whole life.
Was it on one side of the head?
Okay.
No, it started on one, and then I got it on the other eventually.
They say cluster headaches is on one side of the head, accompanied by symptoms such as nasal discharge or red eyes. And the treatment is inhaled oxygen, steroids, and injections. And usually are known as, like, they occur in cluster periods that may last from weeks to months.
I was going to say, I thought the cluster denoted frequency.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm thinking of
I think you've had a
headache.
A really bad migraine, like a horrifying migraine. But no, cluster headache, I think, is one of the scariest things I've heard of that I'd never want to deal with. And testicular torsion is right up there of like, oh, no. Yeah, you just wake up and everything's all twisted and you're about to have operations on the worst part of your body. Yep. That's a bit in Oppenheimer. It's not a spoiler where they're like, we don't know what it'll do to the female reproductive system. And she's like, your reproductive system is more exposed than mine. Like, your shit's just hanging out there. Like, we're more protected. If anything, it should be inverted. And the women should be doing the hard, like, radioactive exposure labor.
I forget sometimes that men, cis men, a lot of cis men, just have, like, an exterior organ on their body. That's fucked up.
Wait, you say a lot of times? or like very, they most 99.9% of the time. It's very rare.
I'm inclusive. I'm inclusive to people who have non-descended testicles.
I don't think it's non-inclusive to say like, hey, this is still the norm.
This is the genetic phenotype of a human being.
Yeah, well, while we're in bro talk, you ever have one just accidentally pop back up in there?
Yes. Well, yeah. Everyone does.
It's weird.
Yeah. No, there's scenes in movies of, yeah, like in football, it happens an unfortunate amount of times. And it's very awful. Because, yeah, like sometimes it's like just as like, oh, you're laying there and you're like, what the fuck? But sometimes, yeah, it's like it got forced in there and that's not good. So.
No.
No. No. Let's say no. Let's say we don't.
I beat the video game Paranormasight. It is the best game Square Enix has put out this year, and I hope I can find someone to let me write about it.
How many games has Square Enix put out this year?
Not a lot. That's
at least
a factor.
Two, like, because the other one was the game that Lucas complained about last week.
Square Enix. Video games. Oh my god. How hard is it to put a fucking list together, Wikipedia? Jesus Christ. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not so much, though.
It's been a weak year for them, which is weird since this is the year that a lot of games that they put money behind come out. But also, the very low-budget Paranormasight, which is a hybrid visual novel adventure game. Andrew, I think you would like it. There's some detective stuff going on here. There's some occult stuff going on here. There is a musical theme associated with the detectives that is very reminiscent of the Wheels and the Leg Man theme song.
Oh my god.
And I know you know what that is.
I don't know the theme song. There's a theme song?
You know.
Did you play Octopath Traveler 2?
I have not yet.
Okay.
But
you liked Octopath Traveler, right?
You raved about it.
Yeah, I feel like it was on your top tens for sure.
2018, Lucas raved about that. I've come a long way since then.
My God. Who are you?
I'm becoming more of myself with each passing day.
Interesting. It's terrifying. Such a weird way to put it. Myself from 5 years ago is a fucking idiot. Oh my god, I can't stand that dude.
Dude, fucking casual. He was casual, Lucas. He hasn't honed
that
how much Lucas he is in 5 years.
2018 Lucas was more body horror, should have been in Annihilation,
an idiot, right?
Yeah. So,
right, 2023 Lucas.
Yeah. How does
wasn't
2023
that stupid?
Lucas feel about the amount of body horror in Annihilation? What would you say?
I feel more strongly that there should have been more of it.
Wow. Oh, so yeah. You're just an exaggerated version of 2018.
Just a parody.
So,
what do you
case,
think becoming more myself means?
So, you think that Octopath Traveler was the best game of all time?
Right. Octopath Traveler 2. Will be the greatest game that's ever been made.
First off, it's Sex Decapath Traveler. Come on.
True.
No, it's not.
True. I think we've had this conversation.
And upon thinking about it more, I think some of the issues I had with that original game are probably, I don't think they can really be addressed in the sequel without it fundamentally being a different experience.
So have you played it since you first played it?
Octopath Traveler?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I did a... Played it for a while, fell off a little bit. I think other stuff came out. Then in 2019, I went back to it. And then ran
so
into
the change was between 2018 and 2019. They're like, not getting into Oppenheimer spoilers, but like we're trying to establish the timeline for when you have completely shifted to not liking Octopath Traveler from Octopath Traveler is great and I like it a lot.
Here is when I get into Octopath Traveler disarmament. Yes. I had a situation where I got lucky because I hit like an XP. Like this is common in a lot of turn-based RPGs where some enemies they very rarely show up, but once they do, if you manage to beat them, you get like just an ungodly amount of XP. I ran into one of those. I got an ungodly amount of XP. And then all fights were inconsequential. And I was like, oh, wait, this is kind of a broken design. This isn't fun for me to play anymore.
Well, since we can't talk about Oppenheimer and you've talked about Paranormasite, I suggest that our group chat be about the little bomb that 2023 Lucas dropped after Oppenheimer. Andrew, what would you say if I told you Lucas just thinks he doesn't like biopics as a genre?
Wait, just what?
Just all biopics aren't for Lucas. He just movies, doesn't like them.
Movies about...
about people, yeah.
Noteworthy people or yep. people with interesting not stories.
Not even. Yeah, not yeah. even noteworthy. Just sometimes just about people. What,
if you watched a biopic and someone just said like, hey, this is a fictional story. This person isn't real. Like, this is just a story about a person. Are they still off the table? Are like all stories about individuals bad? What about it being a biopic makes it part of a genre you don't like?
I think movies in this genre tend to be rather self-serious, in a way where I have to be careful about my... I don't want to give anything away about Oppenheimer, but after seeing the movie and knowing what I know about the figure, I think Oppenheimer was a much weirder dude than what the movie made him out to be. But of course the movie couldn't make him a weird guy, because then it's no, this is serious. It's the Oppenheimer demands to be taken seriously. And I think that runs through a lot of biopics where it is not actually presenting the version of a person as they are and their complete multifaceted nature. It is
because it's a film and you can't get, I don't know, 80 years of someone's life.
And you haven't seen
it yet.
That's
what they're trying to do.
You haven't seen it yet, but like literally one of the themes of Oppenheimer is that he's fucking weird and he like doesn't do things the way a normal person would. And yeah, has no self-preservation and has like definitely a running theme.
Is 2023 Lucas just saying like more weird sex in Oppenheimer the same way that he said more body horror in Annihilation?
Andrew, we've reached a point in the movie where I cannot comment on that. But yeah, no,
it's just like Malcolm X, like fucking JFK, like Raging Bull, Schindler's List. Like, it's such a wide spanning genre, and there's some definitely classic movies in there. I don't know.
I mean, listen, Malcolm X wasn't Spike Lee's best work. I think we can all agree upon that.
Okay, so out of the like most recent movies you've watched, like what are some good ones? Like not not saying like favorite or anything like that, just some good movies you've seen recently.
Asteroid City.
Yeah, he is still talking about Asteroid City.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Okay, you know what? I'm going back to 2022 movies I watched. Everything Everywhere All at Once. Totally think it deserved to win Best Picture. Nope. Phenomenal. I really liked Bros. And that's...
okay, that's getting I'm going to tell you. It. Bros?
Yeah?
Billy Eisner's character? Real guy. That movie's a true story. It's a biopic. What do you think of it now?
Sucks.
I don't think Billy Eisner would describe Bros as a biopic, but...
all of you guys are combining Michael Eisner, the former CEO of Disney, and Billy Eichner, the gay actor who is known for ambushing people on the streets, into a horrifying mixture.
Yeah, no, this is the biopic I'm talking about.
Jesus Christ, that is a tortured human being. Half, like, upsetting comedian, half... terrible CEO. Horror.
I don't know. I think that
Michelle Yeoh in Everything Everywhere All at Once, that's a real woman. Traveled the multiverse. She discovered nihilism. That's a real person. What do you think?
I'm going to ignore your deliberately inflammatory comment and say that
what's the difference? Flammatory. It's one of those things where like inflammable and flammable mean the same thing. What is flammatory? Because there's inflammatory comments. What are flammatory comments?
Flammatory is not a word.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cowards.
How does that work? If inflammatory is a word, well, how is flammatory not a
so
word?
Flame is a noun. Inflame is a verb. If it's inflammatory, it's causing flame. If it's flammatory, it, I think that would, if it's, if that would have been a word, flammatory would have been describing a state of being.
Interesting.
I think Bros actually offers a pretty interesting point of comparison to what I find to be at the very least a trend I don't like in a lot of biopic films, which is biopics are less about capturing a person or their lived experience in its entirety and more about justifying the film existing by making this person out to be the most important version of themselves. Whereas Bros, to great effect and my personal enjoyment, was about capturing the experience of, hey, here's what it's like to be a gay man in New York City in the 2020s. And it's weird and messy and complicated and also true and honest. And I enjoyed it for that.
Do you think they perfectly captured what it's like to be a gay man in New York in the 2020s? Or do you think maybe there were some things added in to make
some
it a better
dramatic
story?
Elements, yeah. Some added importance.
I mean,
The example of the best biopic ever that he brought up was Walk Hard, the Dewey Cox story, which
a
is
a fake movie.
Right, it's
a
parody
person.
Of Walk the Line. And I was like, did you watch Walk the Line? And you were like, yes. And you were like, it's okay. And I was like, I feel like you have to appreciate the original to really appreciate the parody. Like, that's the whole bit, is that you like understand and enjoy what is being satirized. Otherwise, it's like a little bit not as deep.
I think, no, you know what? Here's what it is. Biopics, they are a coward's fence sitter of a film. Somewhere between, this is a fictionalized story capturing the themes and opinions of this person, of their life. And on the other side of the fence, this is a documentary. This is an actual breakdown of who this person was and their impact on the world.
Right. It sounds like you just want documentary.
Yeah.
You don't want a movie.
If so,
it's documentary different. Can be a movie.
If it's based,
no, it can't.
If it's based on true events, it has to tell it truthfully through the lens of a documentary, which need I remind you, Lucas, isn't a thing. Documentaries are not
documentaries are
of
also
the truth.
Through
they
a lens,
they
yeah.
are proving points. Like they are arguments. They
right.
they are stories told and, with like the pieces being events that happened.
Unless the documentary is like 3 hours of unedited CCTV footage of an event that happened. Like, yeah, it is edited. It is, they have a narrative in mind that they're putting together when they created the documentary. But I'm just saying more like, that's okay. Like, but I just feel like then there's no appreciation for like storytelling. Like what about like things that are loosely inspired by true events? Like, that's most stories, I feel like, are loosely inspired by true events. So then
taking something you know and right. like extrapolating.
Doesn't the same criticism then apply that like this isn't actually faithful to what really happened, or not really?
I now realize I'm doing the bad thing of, why am I on the defensive about this? What is good about biopics, actually? Why are y'all so ready to defend them?
Because they're some of the best movies ever
made.
Andrew.
Okay.
They are! Like, what? Schindler's List is not one of the best movies ever made. Like, I just don't know. Like, they just are. I'm not saying that they're all the same. I'm not saying there aren't bad ones. I'm not saying you have to like Oppenheimer. I'm just saying there are biopics that are genuinely some of the best movies ever made. Selma, straight out of, like, it's such a wide-ranging genre with some really, really good movies in it.
And it also has The Blind Side in it. So, you know.
Fucking, dude, Lucas.
Yeah.
You,
I agree.
Blindside, Transformers, not that good. What do you mean it has? Okay, it right. has the Blindside in it as a genre.
There are two
Any
types
genre
of movies.
Has some of the worst fucking movies imaginable in it.
There are two types of movies: biopics and non-biopics.
Dude,
non-biopics
Samurai
have all the
Cop
good ones.
Is a movie that exists. That's a fictional story. Are you gonna go to bat for that one just because it's not a biopic? You're now you are intentionally being obtuse, just like I was.
Larry the Cable Guy Health Inspector. Open it up. Let's do it. What do we got? No, I don't know. Some of my favorite movies are definitely biopics. And that's fair.
You know, to the Samurai Cop's defense, wildly financially successful.
No way.
I budget of $7,000, made $384,000.
So now financial success is what dictates how good a movie is.
Yeah. Ooh.
I'm curious how that's going to
Have you ever seen Transformers? I'm going to keep coming back to Michael Bay.
Yeah.
I don't like the genre. I'm sorry. I don't like the biopic genre.
Into the Wild. I, Tanya. Like, so, they're just so varied. I think that's my core hangup, is just how different, like how widespread.
Yeah.
It's like saying I don't like drama movies, because it's like, but that's not even really a good genre. Like, it's not specific enough to call it a genre in a lot of ways.
Biopics can be comedies. They can be action movies. They can be just thrillers.
I am on a podcast with two people who have repeatedly said, I don't like anime, which is more than a genre. That's an entire artistic medium.
Exactly. I think that actually makes it more open to a blanket criticism, is the fact that it's an artistic medium versus a genre. Like, if you like movies, like if you just didn't like movies and then you said I don't really like biopics, it'd be like, that makes sense, because you don't like movies. Like,
and if someone
reason...
said I don't like country, that's different than someone saying I don't like music, I'm not a big music person.
I don't like that, because that actually makes
because you agree
Lucas's
with that one.
Point like not liking country when country is a very widespread genre. No, I don't agree with that point. I'm saying more that, like, it's too widespread. Like, if you didn't like, I'm trying to think of a very specific genre. If you didn't like Manic Pixie Dream Girl movies, it'd be like, yeah, no, fair. Like, that's very specific, and I can understand not liking that. But biopics are just too big for that, unless you don't like movies, in which case, I guess, fair. I can't really argue with that. So, yeah, like, if I don't like volleyball animes, it'd be like, yeah, sure, that's plenty specific, you're cool with that. But then if I said, if I don't like animes where the protagonist is a man, you'd be like, what the fuck, that's so specific, like that's weird, or not, that's not specific enough, like that's too widespread. But then it again opens back up when I say I don't like anime, like
I'm trying to draw on words that I've heard Lucas say. It'd be like saying I don't like isekai.
Sure.
Did I get that right, Lucas?
Did I pronounce that correctly in the
yes.
in the anime in the weeb tongue? Did I? Am I fluent?
You're very Obama saying anime there. Like nailed
anime.
It.
Ich bin ein Berliner.
I mean, but like that is accurate, because isekai has a lot of tropes and problems, and well, there are some standout series that are, like, phenomenal, and I would even argue, like, oh, this is important to the medium. There's also a lot of crap in there.
Yeah, but I just think it has to be then broader. It has to be, like I said, where it's like, I don't like anime where the protagonist is a man. And it's like, what? It's too varied. Like, there's too much different types of things. Like, it's hard to properly... Like, yeah, there are absolutely biopics that are grossly whitewashing the main character. Like, Bohemian Rhapsody, 100%. What did not get to the root of who Freddie Mercury was, and that is a genuine, like, concern and criticism that can be made. And maybe you thought Oppenheimer, like, did not get to the root of who this person was in a way, but, like, I just think there are biopics that do. I think that there are biopics that are artistically valid and don't suffer from those types of issues potentially, because it's just too big.
A little bit of a tangent here. So Google is saying that The Social Network is a biopic. That's just flagrantly wrong, right?
No, it's not.
It's like one of the most clear examples
of really
a biopic.
It's really obviously a biopic. Yeah. Like, so now I think that you just maybe had a different definition of biopic than what is there. Because, yeah, Social Network was 100% a biopic.
In what universe is it not? Again, like, The Social Network is one of those, like, clear... If you say... Tell me what a biopic is. Someone might say, have you seen The Social Network? It's like that.
Yeah, like that is almost a definitional, if that's a word.
The biopic is just real guy. Like,
yes!
About real guy. Okay.
It's a story about a
biographical
human being
picture.
That lived.
It's like, a biographical picture. That's the whole thing. Sometimes it focuses on their entire life. Sometimes it focuses on a period of their life. Like, sometimes it focuses on a day. Like, yeah, if it is... A biographical thing, similar to an autobiography or a biography book, like it can be about a lot of things. But if it is about a person that really lived, it's a biopic.
Actually, wait, I think I liked The Social Network so much because it was so much about how much Zuckerberg sucks. Can we get more biopics like that?
Yeah, dude,
yes, and there are a bunch of them. There's so
dude,
many of
fucking
them.
Jordan Belfort and The Wolf of Wall Street. Sure, everybody that saw it misinterpreted the movie, but...
But it is about how much of a piece of shit he is. I, Tanya, like Margot Robbie killing it as a very complicated person.
Fucking lunatic,
almost certainly injured her main competitor. Yeah, like... Nah, there's plenty of biopics about bad people. Maybe you just want that. Maybe you want people to be bad in your movies, and they can't be good people or important people. You want them to be, like, taken down a peg by the movie. And then that's fair. Maybe you don't like biopics that portray their protagonist in a positive light. And then that's specific enough where I could be like, I see where you're coming from.
Okay. I think there we found a healthy medium here.
No. What's the one where Christian Bale plays...
Vice.
Yeah, Vice.
Yeah, Vice. Yeah, Vice. There you go.
I should watch that one. I missed that one.
Yeah, you should. if you want more biopics about bad people told in an unflinchingly this person is terrible light, then you'll like Vice.
I listened to the Behind the Bastards latest episode on Sam Bankman-Fried.
Yeah, isn't it great?
That was an odd chaser to Oppenheimer, which is a movie about actually brilliant people. And then, everyone involved in the Bankman-Fried stuff, whatever his fake-ass investment firm, cryptocurrency, NFT, whatever it was, like all self-stylized brilliant people and very much not. And it's just, the way intelligence, the way the aesthetics of intelligence have been turned into a marketing ploy.
Right, exactly. They're brilliant at marketing, you know? Like, there is brilliance there. It's just not the brilliance that they're selling. Mm-hmm. They're not marketing themselves as brilliant marketers because that's not interesting. They're marketing themselves as brilliant inventors and, like, people that are going to upset established social orders and everything like that. Yeah, it's a misrepresentation of what they're actually brilliant at because they understand that because they're brilliant at marketing, they understand what would actually be something people want to buy into.
And then the immediate defense to that, the immediate justification for those kinds of people is like, well, how are they here? How are they doing this at such a young age if they aren't like actually successful? If they aren't, and then it's like, well, they're rich ass, in Bankman-Fried's case, a collegiate professor parents set the stage. Potentially paid for them, like gave them every opportunity to be like it was easy for them through Nepo baby shit. I didn't realize both his parents were ethics professors. That's kind really of funny. Fun.
And his dad is like the funny one who's like financial ethics, which basically means like obey the law. And then he like frequently would give people loopholes for how to get around like tax issues. And it's like, I feel like that's the opposite, but you know, it is what it is.
Yeah. Ethics in the idea of like how to circumvent them.
I mean, he purported to be teaching people how to like properly obey. And then, yeah, probably because he had an understanding of what that meant, was able to use it and
like, this is okay, this is ethical. Trust me, you can make an argument that this is ethical, therefore it's fine.
Capote is so good. Have you seen Capote, Lucas?
I have not.
Watch Capote. Capote's fucking great.
Okay.
There you go.
I think that's it. I think we're good on episode 229 of the Voluntary Viewing Podcast. If you like what you heard, like, comment, subscribe, etc. Shout outs to Tiffany Cole and Sucky Badger for supporting us on Patreon. Y'all listening to this can as well. You can also follow us on Twitter at V2_podcast. Send us your questions, business opportunities, voluntaryviewing at gmail.com. ActBlue link if you want to make a donation to a collection of great causes. Follow me on Twitter, I guess. Follow me on Blue Sky. Actually, do that there. Couple of bangers. Yeah. All right. Have a great week, everyone. Getting to the end of summer now, and that's weird, good, but weird. I don't enjoy it. Enjoy it while it's here. Okay, goodbye forever.